Good morning and welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. Hour number three already. All right, it is 6:03 here in the Bayou City. Now let's run down to Corpus Christi and check in with Captain Cliff Webb this morning. See if we can talk some big trout today. Cliff, good morning. What's up?
yeah, we had some big trout this week. What a week, dude. Golly.
Boy, that was a beautiful picture of that guy. Who was that guy that caught that fish?
Todd is his name, and his last name I can't pronounce. I'll spell it for you, but it's wrong. But I had these four guys, and that fish was like a tad under 10 pounds. It was just so close to 10.
God, you know, that's
it was
a beast, nine and, man.
It's 9 3/4, 30, a little over 31 inches, but to catch it on a topwater, too. God, what a day we had, man. Gee, 2 days of just absolutely some of the best trout fishing I've seen in years. Just, you know, that first wade, one of my guys, Matt, caught 40 big trout on a wade. That's how good it was. You know, just unbelievable. You know, 100 fish plus day on corkies and topwater, just unbelievable, Mickey. And the fish were, you know, most of them averaged 4 to 7 pounds. Then we had that bumper fish. But
big fish, that pink topwater, what was that, a skitter walk?
Yeah, and it's so cool.
Looks like a skitter walk.
Yeah, caught a few years ago, got one that was on a skitter walk that was 10 3/4. And he catches the 9 3/4 on the same bait. Isn't that cool, man? That is so cool.
Golly. Yeah, it is. That's but as cool as it gets.
Man, I got in there Monday, and you know, we had that water temperature drop down about 10 or 12, you know, degrees. I knew we were going to hose them. I just knew it, you know. And I pull in the spot, and I said, there's not going to be anybody here because everybody's going to be somewhere else. I know where everybody's going to be. This is not a popular spot, you know. It's just I just know they're not going to be exactly where I want to be, you know. And I pull in there, and there's only one boat, and it's real far away. And we get out, Mickey, and they start slicking. I mean, the cool thing about it was the way they were slicking upwind from us, you know, like 600 or 700 yards, and they were coming toward us. And we got in those lines of slicks and watched those fish travel for 1,500 yards across us for 4.5 hours. We stood in those fish and just Katie barred the door. It was stupid. You know, it was just stupid how many big fish. And I'm running around with my phone in my pocket, Mickey, trying to take pictures, trying to fish and catch pictures because these guys spread out and two guys would be bowed up. And I go, okay, who has a big pig on? I'm going to get a video. Then the guy next to me, and I'm just running myself ragged trying to take pictures, you know. But
that's a bad problem to have right there, buddy.
God, it was fun, Mickey. I mean, and so Paul Jamala, my neighbors, he's with us, you know. He's the guy that set this trip up. And Matt was just on fire on Monday. He was catching so many fish. We were trying to catch up with Matt, you know, and Paul's over there close to him. Matt's got about a 6.5 pounder on. My other guy's got about a 5, and Paul sets hooking about a 6 pounder. He's got a cigar in his mouth, and he took his wade jacket off, and he turned around to say, "I got a good one," and that cigar fell out of his mouth inside of his waders. It was so good.
I bet that.
Talk about getting your attention, dude.
Get some tap dancing going on right there.
Oh, either had to flush, land a fish, or dig down there and get that cigar. So it was touch and go there for a minute, but he got the cigar out. He got the cigar out of his waders and landed the big trout. So I said, "Okay, man, you get a 10 on that one. That's
hope
pretty
he had
good.
A wading belt on."
Yeah, that's exactly what I said.
that way it didn't go on down to the promised land.
Oh, if it went down one leg, he'd have done the toilet flush. He'd have been the tidy bowl flusher, man. I've seen people do that, you know, to drop a cigarette down their waders, have to go underwater. But, and so funny because Paul, you know, he said, you know, Webb, you're my bad luck charm. He says, last time I fished with you, he had a pair of stingray guards on. And a jumping minnow, the fish ran between his legs. And I told you that story. He pinned his legs together with that jumping minnow and that stingray guards. And he was going around circles with his feet about 6 inches apart and couldn't walk. And I had to go carry him back to the boat and lay him over the ladder and de-hook him with a pair of pliers to get the jumping minnow out between his legs. But and then he drops that cigar. He says, you know, you think you're bad luck when I fish with you, man. But it was crazy. Golly.
I had a guy one time, he had about a 6-pounder with a mirror lure on in his face, you know, trout's wearing it in his face. And he sounds on him and hooks into his wading booty on his right foot.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And he's dancing around on one leg and practically drowning and falling down. I said, hey, just reach over there with your other foot and slide that booty off. Oh, yeah, I didn't think of that.
Yeah, no kidding.
Slide the booty off and get it up there. We'll get the trout off and on the stringer, and we'll get that hook out of the booty.
Oh gosh.
Well, man, it was so cool. So on we're back, we're on these big fish, and it was so cool because hardly anybody caught any fish on Monday. I was on this big school of fish, and it was a huge school of fish, and they don't slick till maybe an hour after daylight. So
Yeah.
people have just already got to where they are, and they don't have no idea these fish are in here, and the bait doesn't come up till the sun comes up. So it was just really incognito there. So the second day I pulled in there, Mickey, and I pulled in there, and the wind's a little different direction. It's got a whole lot more west to it, and so I had to set up different on the wade. And we pull out, and we watched that wind do 180 degree. We waded one way and would turn around and wade back the other way. And we started sticking some really big fish on top water. So the wind started dying down, started getting lower.
Yeah.
And we were throwing that boogeyman Corky, the fat boy boogeyman.
Uh-huh.
And we were just smoking them on that bait. And pretty soon it got real calm where it was almost slick. And then Todd put on that skitterwalk top water, and he's about 200 yards away. And the first fish, probably about 8 pounds, boom, smokes that baby. I mean, I could hear it,
Oh, boy.
and then he misses it. And then at the same time, I got Matt over to the right about 200 yards. I hear him go off, boom, and I look, and he hit that fish, hit at the end of his cast, and it's just greyhounding out of the water. I mean, it's like 50 yards out, and that fish shook all the way to him, just blew water all the way to him. So I'm sitting, okay, man, which way to go? Go to the right? Over here to catch him, or I'm going with the guy that's top water. He's up shallow, and what he's done, he's waded right up against the bank, and he's standing in knee-deep water, throwing up in super shallow water, and there's no noise. It's real quiet, and you can see those big fish humping up in that shallow water.
Oh,
And
boy.
so I'm on my way over there, Mickey, and I see a little sand pocket, and I'm walking fast, and I still got the green. I know I got the boogeyman on. And I fire that boogeyman on, it hits the water, pow, whoom, 7.5 pound trout. I go, I haven't even got to him yet,
Good
And so
Lord.
I was good, dude. And I'm fighting this big old 7.5 pound. I can't wait to get him off to get over there to get to Todd because he's on some big fish. And I get within about 50 yards of him, and smack, that big fish smoked that top water. I mean, it was cool. And of course, the fish sticks half his head out, and he goes, well, this one's over 7. I said, dude, that one's over 8. That's a pig. And I get over to him and I start videoing it in slow motion. Then, of course, it's hooked on a topwater. You know how easy they get off on
Oh,
topwater,
yeah.
First thing I look when that fish come up, I look at the hook placement. I said, "You got him, dude. That front hook is right in the corner of the jaw, right in a sweet spot. You got
That's
him."
when you
Then
know you got
that's when you
leverage on him
know.
and he's not going to get rid
Yes,
of it. Yes, sir.
he is in super shallow water, and that fish is rolling on the bottom, making big mud stirs, trying to get him off. He's jumping, doing all the stuff, and he snapped a boga grip on him, and it come off. I go, oh my God, then finally he snapped it on there, and I'm right by him, but that fish was so healthy, he wasn't hurt. Is that hook was perfect, no bleeding. And that release pitcher, you see how fast he took off, how
Well,
good
I'm
he took
telling you,
off
that
and
fish
released him.
still had some energy left in him.
He is not hurt at all, and I
That
got
was
that slow-mo
a good
release, and
video.
that was cool. Man, it was
Yeah, that
good,
was cool.
And we
Man.
figured we caught somewhere around 140 big fish in those 2 days. But pretty
My
impressive. I mean,
gosh.
we catch a dink every once in a while or a 3 pounder, but most of them were, 25 to 31 inches. Those are trout right there, buddy.
That's
God.
Babe Ruth stuff right there, buddy.
Oh, dude, I haven't slept since then. I just more than 90 miles an hour. And then I go to the surf yesterday. I go, look, Cliff, just don't take your rod. Just relax. I grab my a little ultralight spinning rod that Barry gave me, and I put on that new little Meridine, that little heavy dime that Mike Karen gave me, that custom one that Eric made. I
Right.
fired out there. I hook a toad trout in the surf, and I
With an
don't land him, but I
ultralight.
had one on an ultralight. He was smoking me too, and he got off. But there's some fish showing up in our surf. It's going
Good.
to get good. I'll never get no sleep now. God. Anyway, I'm pretty fired up, Mickey, on those big fish. I needed
You
that
kind of
bad.
sound
I
like
miss
it. I
most of
hadn't
March.
heard
Yeah, I kind of
a
miss March. Yeah.
got a little giddy up in your step this morning,
I'm
man.
sorry,
That's
dude. I'm
hey,
trying to
I
lay off the
love it.
coffee, but
Hey, I need it.
I'm trying not to drink coffee, but it's hard,
I need some of that therapy.
It was good
Man.
therapy, buddy. It was
Well,
good.
let's take a little pause here and a break, and
All right,
let
buddy.
me knock this commercial out, and we'll come back and talk some more, man. This is good
All
stuff.
right, Mickey. Thanks, man. Thanks,
All
buddy.
right. I'm going to get my waders on. All right. Well, AnglerU, they're committed to steadily expanding its library of videos to cover every topic under the sun when it comes to fishing. Weekly fishing reports from up and down the coast by the best guides and tournament anglers with decades of experience, and they're steadily expanding its library of videos to cover all topics and their archive, so you can see patterns over time. Educational videos with instructional topics covering all aspects of saltwater fishing for speckled trout, redfish, flounder, and tarpon. Whether you're boat fishing, wade fishing, or kayaking, go to anglerU.com. You can become a member today and receive great discounts from partner retailers like Fishing Tackle Unlimited, Anglers Anonymous, and Waterloo Rods. Folks, this will save you a ton of money in the long run. Great discounts. Go to anglerU.com. That's anglerU.com, and improve your fishing skills. It's a game changer. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. 617 here in the Bayou City. All right, let's go back down and talk some more with Captain Cliff Webb. All right, Cliff, we're back, man.
All right, man. Well, I got to tell you, read this thing that Chris Bush sent me. They have a thing called Heavy Hitters, and they register these big trout, and the guy that has the 10 biggest fish at the end of the year wins it. You know, and there's a lot of really good guides in it. And this is what he's got. He's got 65 fish over 8 pounds, 7 over 10, and 9. It's 7 over 10 and 12 over 9. I'm reading it right now. That's impressive.
And where are most of those fish from?
From Mansfield, Bathin, and Matagorda. It's up down the coast.
And that's by the same person?
No, by everybody. It's a club. Like, all these guys get in there, and it's called the Heavy Hitters. And the guy that has the best 10 fish, weighted the best 10 fish, the end of the year wins. And so there's several. There's dozens and dozens of heavy, you know, really good trout fishermen in this. And they have to video it on video like Chad does his, and, you know, and register it. And that's 7 fish over 10 pounds. Come on, man. That's awesome. That's incredible. 12 over 9, 65 over 8. Man, that's just, don't think we're not coming back. You know, that's goes to show you what we can do. You know, if
so
everybody
the majority
gets the
of those fish, though, are from down there, right?
I would say so. He didn't say where they're from, up and down the coast. I'm going to say a lot of them are from Mansfield, South Padre, Bathin, maybe some Matagorda. I've seen a couple of really good fish come out of Matagorda this week, man. So it was good, but it's just so good to see these big fish back, Mickey. Man.
Yes.
It's waited a long time for this. You know, I kind of missed a lot with my back being down, but, you know, I was waiting on those big fish, and I was hurting. I just kept on going, you know, you know, take some more Tylenol and keep on fishing. You know, it's just, it was so good. You just wait for days like that. Yeah. So hard to sleep after this week. That was nuts, man. Gosh. It sounds like you guys are catching them too. Sounds like Flog's catching them too. That's good stuff.
Yeah, nothing like that though.
No, that was something else, man. And so I was gonna tell you about this lure I'm fishing. It's called a Texas turnip, and Jay and Lowell made this corgi. It's called Texas turnip. And it's got to be the ugliest. Yeah, it's ugly as I am. I mean, it's ugly. And so I pulled it out of the box. I had it still in the package. I said, man, I need to throw this thing. It's really, the fishing's really on. I'm gonna see how it works. And it was a floater. It had a red ear. I said, man, this thing's a floater. They destroyed that floater. It was so much fun to, it was so much fun to fish. You'd throw it out, you know, and you'd pop a little bit, and it'd kind of walk, kind of do that little wobble to the side. And all of a sudden, it just toilet flushed from the bottom. Oh, it was neat, man. I had 3 big fish in a row on that floating.
And
on
what
that
bait
floating
is
corky.
This? I mean, what?
It's a fat boy. It's a fat boy corky. The fat
floater.
Fat boy
and
corky.
It floats.
It's a floater. It's called the Texas turnip. It's got this kind of pearl with a purple-looking stripe with some red in it. It's ugly, but it catches the fish. You know, and Jay was talking about it last time I fished with Jay, how good that bait was. And he sent me some corkies. You know, Jay and Lowell sent me some corkies, and I'm looking. I go, man, that thing's ugly. I'm going to throw it. You know, and when just, it's a good time to test something when you're in big fish, and they destroyed it. Golly.
Well, that's kind of the way it works. Usually if something really looks good to us as a fisherman, it doesn't work out so
doesn't,
well
yes.
with fish, but
yeah,
you know,
yeah. So what happened to me on that one day? He's catching those big old toads on topwater, you know, and we all go to topwater, start catching them, and so then it just slicked off. So we started out with the northwest, we went to west, it turned around the east, turned down to the south, then it just died. I mean, just like a milk pond, just slick. And you know how hard they are to catch.
Oh yeah,
because they see the line, everything. You know, they're still in the fish. The fish are they're stacked in there. We're in them. We can see them. Still chasing mullet. And so I had this little bitty super spook, that little tiny baby super spook that's about the size of your little finger. It's a little bitty thing. I know you've seen it. I was fishing the surf last year.
Oh, it's even smaller than the Spook Junior?
Oh, yeah, much smaller.
Yeah, I know which one you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah. And I was fishing in the surf a couple of years ago. It's clear with a light pink back. And I put, Mike Herring had sent me these stinger hooks. I put a little bit bigger hook on the front of the bait so it holds its nose down. So I dig around in my box, and I get that thing. I said, man, this is going to be a good bait for calm water. I fired that little baby out there. I started walking. The toilet just flushes three times on a giant fish. I lose all three because I can't hold them with that hook. I'm just going, I have the worst luck with small hooks. I don't know if I put too much pressure on them, Mickey, but I can't land those fish. You know, I know that it can be done, but, you know, just hook placement. But I think I'm setting the hook too quick or something. But I lost three toes on that little bait. But they were smoking it, and nobody was getting any hits. When it calmed out, they were hitting it. And the trick is no line slap. I throw it out and raise the rod tip up and get about 3 or 4 foot of walking without the line hitting the water, and that's when I get my hit.
Man.
You know, because they're seeing that line. You know they are.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, I don't have to worry about that up here. We don't have that clear of water where they're going to see the line like that.
You know, I was going to ask you, too. One of my guys, Matt, was fishing mono. And I know the Gunther brothers fish mono a lot, and they're good. You fish mono. And I tell you what, he was getting more strikes on that mono that day on the really clear days than we were on the braid. I was just, man, I can't believe it. Of course, he's a great fisherman anyway, but something about that mono, the way it was working, he was working on a Waterloo light, that rod called the light. Mm-hmm. And he could really make that fat boy just stay in one spot. He whip it.
Yeah.
And that rod was loose. It would just sit in one spot. He was just smoking them on that thing. So I'm thinking, you know, sometime mono's the way to go on certain conditions.
Yeah. It has its applications. You know, I like throwing it. I always have. Now, I threw braid for years, especially when I was fishing a lot of redfish tournaments. You got to have it. And
right.
But with trout, I was catching myself ripping a lot of fish loose with it. And, because it's not forgiving like mono. Now, the mono I use doesn't have a lot of stretch like normal mono. It's a little bit, you know, it's firmer. It's not so firm that it has a lot of coil and memory to it, but it's just enough to where you get just a little bit of stretch out of it for forgiveness. But, you get real good hook setting capability with it also. And,
well, you know, and I think it's a lot to do with the way the line sinks in the water, the level, it's something about it, you know, especially when, you know, it's just different. And man, when it's working, Mickey, that's crazy how that works. Man,
if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Yes. You know, and that's why I'm on my braid. I use a real long leader, like 3 foot, you know, I don't like that fluorocarbon very much. I use a redder mono leader for lots of stretch for head shake. And that's one of the keys to the braid. I see these guys use like a 6 or 7 inch leader. Man, you're going to lose some fish because you don't have enough stretch. If you'll go ahead and stretch that leader out at least 2 foot, and then when he starts shaking his head, it's got a little sponge in it. He can't rip that hook out. But, you know, that's our problem is hook placement. Because if you get a big trout on, even on a fat boy, and it's outside the mouth with all of our grass and rock, it's hard to get them in. You know,
yes.
You hope it's inside the mouth, man.
Exactly. Man, that rub on them rocks, man, even with braid, it's gone.
I can't tell you how many. Oh, this one place just haunts me, you know, how many fish I've lost in, but I'm going back. I mean, I'm going back, but I know I'm going to lose some stuff, but I'm going back in there.
Well, the most fun part's setting the hook on them and seeing them, and then if they get off, we got to throw them back anyway. But I hate giving them a $15 lure.
Oh, I know it, man. I was standing next to Paul Jamala, my buddy, you know, we're talking, and I'm throwing that floating turnip, you know, and I fire out there, and a big fish misses it, you know, and I reel in about 3 feet, and it's about 10 feet from me, and about a little 14-inch trout, I don't know where he came from, smoked that turnip. I go, look at this little guy, and he's kind of shaking. I start reeling, and this big fish just T-bones him, Mickey, on my line.
Man.
He eats the whole thing, and so he jerked my rod down to the water, so I hit the free spool real fast. I hit it real fast and let him run. And then he jumps with my baby fish in his mouth and comes off, but he was a toad. It was cool, yeah. Man. It was cool. He didn't have that cork in his mouth. He had it kind of just under it, and he had T-boned that fish. He's getting ready to turn around. He come to the top, you know, and he shook his head. It came off, and I just let it sit there for a second. You know, then I reel that little baby fish, and he is so marked up. He's got two big old fang marks running down his side. It was neat looking.
Looked like a plucked chicken.
But you wonder what he's doing in there. Every once in a while we catch a little dink. I think those big fish are chasing those little dinks in there, you know. We're seeing some 10-inch trout, Mickey.
Up my way, I get into those dinks like that. You find those little trout from 8 to 14 inches, and there's going to be bull reds everywhere. And they're eating them. I mean, they're schooling on them. They're eating those little trout.
And God, that's so nuts.
I was gassing up the other morning. This guy came up. He was gassing his truck up, and he walked over to me and said, "You're Captain Mickey, huh?" And I said, "Yeah, how you doing?" And he said, "Yeah, my dad used to live on this side of the bay where you live, and now he lives in Anahuac." And he was talking about, you know, "We've been listening to y'all talking about these bull reds eating these trout." And he said, "You're right." He said, "My dad has a pier over on the east side over in Anahuac Pocket, and he can turn the lights on at night, and the water's just boiling with bull redfish eating everything. Little trout, I mean, just going nuts." And that's
good Lord.
It's starting to become a problem.
Yeah, I know. You know, and they live so long too, you know.
Yeah, 60 years. Not all of them do, but on average, I guarantee you 40, 50 years.
And I was so lucky on that big trout bite. We didn't catch a single red, Mickey. That's nuts. You know, those big trout were in there, and those reds were not in there. That was crazy.
That's hard to believe. A lot of times, you know, there'll be some big
2 days of no reds
in with them. Isn't that something?
No. Yeah. And then my buddy Barry goes back the next day and catches a bunch of big trout. Only caught one. I don't think he had one redfish on, but, I mean, it's just crazy how those big trout were in there. And what's the cool thing about this, those mullet were flipping. They were 6 to 8 inches, every one of them.
And that
bait moved. Oh, God, that bait moved like a quarter of a mile overnight, where I stuck them on Monday. And we all saw the bait. We got in there and go, "Man, that bait's moving a little bit." We look, "Oh, look, there it is. There it is," you know. And as soon as the sun come up, the bait would give the fish away. You know, they would flip in and, you know, making little small slicks. I love it when a bait flips.
Are your fish starting to slick good down there?
Oh, my God. That one day Monday, they slicked nuts. Tuesday, they slicked, but I tell you what, Monday, that was crazy how many slicks we saw.
See, on Wednesday, I never saw a fish slick, and the week before, they were slicking like crazy. And on Wednesday, I never saw a fish slick, not a one.
Are you getting glass minnows now?
Oh, yeah, glass minnows. Yeah. And, man, we got so many shad cliff from, like, thumbnail size up to about 3 to 4 inch, like a fat boy size, you know. And these fish are... And plus mullet, too, finger mullet, mid-sized mullet, horse mullet. I mean, I got so much to eat. And
like a pet store.
Yeah. And them stupid gaff top have already showed up way up my way. They once they bust them jetties, they're coming to Trinity. And caught some big old gaffies, and it was kind of a trash can slam that day. A lot of junk.
Trash can slam. I like that.
Yeah, even caught a stingray in the mouth with a little junk.
Oh, no.
And one bull red that was like, I couldn't believe how fat this redfish was. If I find a picture, I'll send it to you. It was 36 inches, and it weighed 33 pounds.
That's a toad.
That
Good
is
Lord.
That's a melon head, man.
Man. You know, just you think about, what will it be like in 3 or 4 more years? Are they going to have to do something with these reds? Because, you know, I talked to Sandy Sachs, you know, and they're catching them down in South Pottery like that. Normally they would have to go to Louisiana or up towards you guys to get those big giant bull reds on their fly rods.
For the longest time, Galveston was, you know, kind of, you know, we were kind of overrun with them. And, you know, Matagorda and Sabine, they didn't, you know, they mostly had slot reds. Well, now all their slot, they're catching a bunch of bulls now. Big ones like that, and I'm hearing about them, you know, down your way. So they're here to stay.
Yeah, I know. I don't know what can be done about it. I didn't realize the trout, eating trout, was such a big deal until I went down to fish with Jay in Mansfield. And we had two or three bull reds eat our small trout off while we're in flats. I just, what is that? And I got some big red eating your trout off, because I never had that happen very often here, but once in a while, you know.
You know, way back in the day, we'd see big trout trying to eat our little trout when we were reeling them in.
Oh, yeah.
You never worried about redfish, but now that they've all grown up and gotten huge, that's their basic diet now. It's probably easier for them to catch trout than it is mullet. Because usually mullet, man, that's, you know, bull reds, they love it, chasing mullet and those big rafts. Now they're finding rafts of trout.
Yeah, exactly right. And that's exactly right. But our bait system is so healthy now with that rain. So what happened, you know, we had as much as 12 inches of rain, you know, back in Las Olmas and Gallo and all those creeks back in the back of Alazan. So that water back there in the back has become fresher, and now the west wind pushed it to the front, so it equalized it made the front of the bay and all the south shore better water than it was, because it flushed all that, you know, stagnant water out there. So now we have a new flush of water that's kind of stirred around, and things are getting right. Alazan's getting right again. So it's I think May's just going to be stupid.
Look how good fishing got. My gosh. I'm going to have to leave town. I've got to come your way. Hang on, man. Let's knock this break out. I'll be right back. All right, buddy.
All right, buddy.
All right. Well, folks, with potential tariffs, now's the time to protect your investment. Keep your RV in top shape with LiquiShield RV Roofing Restoration. If your roof is damaged, call Mike at 281-831-7832. LiquiShield restores your RV's roof, prevents future damage, extends its life, and boost its value. They come to you. The job's usually done in one day, and it's backed by a 30-year warranty. So book your appointment today. Call 281-831-7832. That's 281-831-7832. LiquiShield RV Roofing. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show, 638 here in the Bayou City. All right, Cliff, we're back. Cliff dropped. Hey, well, one out of three isn't bad. We'll get him back. Yeah, I was over these bull reds. I got several texts during the break just then about these bull reds gorging on our speckled trout, our younger juvenile fish, and it could be a problem. A lot of people think it is. I'm one of them. I see it a lot, a whole lot. Now, speckled trout, between us as fishermen and the environment, bull reds and sharks and dolphins, speckled trout's definitely have a bounty on them. All right, Cliff, we're back, man.
Well, you had to drop me eventually. I mean, I guess I'm talking too much.
Once. I mean, hey, that's pretty good.
Good.
One out of three breaks isn't bad at all.
Oh, that's real good. Hey, but I was going to tell you, those baits reels are so good with that drag system, Mickey, on these big fish. Everybody was fishing
don't
the baits.
You love that
I think everybody
noise it makes when the drag's going
out.
Yeah,
but it's so smooth, man. It doesn't, even when they're in the deal is when they're up on top rocking their head and that thing doesn't pull out smooth, you got your rod laid down. You need to lay your rod down on the water sideways. When he's up on top shaking that head, if there's any kind of jerking, that's when he comes off. But that thing is so smooth, man. It's so smooth. But and it's durable. I've got those three reels. I've had no issues with them, except I drop one of the side plates in the water, but they sent me another one. You know, that's the only issue
I've
had with
throwback.
Them.
I wish it stayed on a pin, you know, like
and I think they're
going to
do that. I think they're going to do that. I do, you know. And
that's the only gripe I've got with them right there. The side plate.
You know, Mickey, I've heard that people have dropped those side plates and they just send you another one, don't charge you anything. They're just such nice people. You know, just a good company. But man, that body is machined. So after you use it for a month, you don't lose distance on your cast. It doesn't warp. The spool doesn't warp, you know. So I'm still firing it out there, you know, like it's a new reel. That's what I like about it.
I know. That's, so far, so good.
Yeah, sir. I'm pretty impressed with that reel right there. I'm gonna go check it out on the surf today. Our surf is super flat, and we had schools of finger mullet running down the surf yesterday.
And
I had that one big trout on. Yes, sir. So I'm hoping I'm gonna get a little topwater bite in the surf this morning. We're doing Carol and I are remodeling the house. You know, we're doing the bathroom and just cutting trees and all this. We're doing all this stuff. And I'm trying to fish too. You know, but. At least I'm
it's
not laid up.
The women want to cut into a man's fishing time like that.
Dude, but I'm going to take her with me. I'm taking her with me this morning. That's the trick. I'm taking her with me that
get
day.
Her out
she
of
can't,
there.
You know, yeah, get her out of there, dude.
Well, man, what a week. I mean, and everybody had a great week, you know, with this full moon coming up. You know, you get that good movement and concentrations of fish. And we had the good weather window where we actually had a decent stretch of weather, you know.
Yeah, it's like the offshore guys killed them, too. And we killed them down here in Baffin, too. Back in Alazan, you know, I know Mansfield. I talked to a couple of guys in Mansfield. Just had some unbelievable weights in Mansfield this week, you know. So I know it's coming. It's you know, our water temperature is just creeping up. You know, it's just, I guess that was probably the last time I'll have to wear waders on Monday and Tuesday. It was still, you know, 69 degrees, 70 degrees. It was just right there. But I think when I get back in the water Monday, hopefully I won't have to put the waders back on. It's just, you know, it should be 70, 72. But, I'm glad to get in the waders. I'm glad to get out of them. I know you are too, you know.
I'm ready for that.
Yeah.
That's always a good thing. You know, that's when fishing's really starting to really get good, is when you have to come out of them in the spring and then when you have to put them on in the fall.
You know, it's what I'm seeing down here, too, is we have so many law enforcement in the water. I think Monday and Tuesday, I counted five park rangers, DEA, game wardens checking boats. It's just crazy how many people we have out here, you know. I see this. I see this guy doing 90 miles an hour, throwing this huge rooster down the shoreline. And here's the game warden. Here's the game warden with his blue light on, doing about 55, trying to catch him. But but they can't outrun the phone and the radio, so they radioed ahead and got him. But it was another boat. But it is funny how these tournament guys, they don't go but one speed, shut off and wide open. You can always tell the tourney guys. You can see the rooster going, you know, even though they're going to go have a sandwich somewhere, they're still going 90 miles an hour. I love it. It's in their blood. They can't help it. They're racehorses, you know. It's like a racehorse making a racehorse walk. It just doesn't work, you know.
Right. Well, good luck catching the SCB.
Yeah, the guy that I fished with, Paul's got one, and he's Mr. Wide Open, you know. And he hit something, and it ripped that boat from the – from the stern to the bow, like an 8-inch gap all the way through, and it didn't sink. I can't believe he got it home, but this is a while back. He hit a pipe or something, and it just ripped that hull all the way open.
How fast was he going?
I don't know, but he was getting it. You know,
I bet he
come out of the water. He said he came out of the water about 3-4 feet and flew a little while. You know, you know, just like that boat that Doug sold, that legging bait had hang time when it got up in that rack.
Yeah.
You know, I said, that's the only boat that's got hang time. And, you know, I think Chris and Bobby were talking about going. I said, man, is it okay to go across tide gates? Is the water too low? It's back when it's so low. I said, hey, man, that boat you're driving has got hang time, buddy. Just hit that hang time button. You'll fly right over. But that was something when Doug, remember that? He hit those rocks around that island.
And he just launched, went airborne, and ended up in the rack of that well. It's lucky it didn't
rack
kill
of that
him.
Well. I can't believe it. The funny thing, we had those bag phones and we're all waiting on him at the marina. We had a multi-boat trip with the Stripes. And so he called me and says, I'm not coming. I run aground. I said, no problem, Doug. We got, you know, 15 boats here. We'll come get you. He says, you ain't going to come get me. They had to get a cherry picker to get him down. I mean, how he didn't. If he'd had somebody with him, it'd have thrown him out of that sea. But he was able to hold on to the steering wheel.
It didn't destroy the bottom of that boat or nothing, huh?
Nothing. That legging base, you know, and Chris is still running. It took a little of the skeg off the engine, but they pulled that thing off and put it back in the water, and it's, you know, it's still running. That's just nuts. Yeah.
That's crazy.
Crazy stuff happens out here. Man.
It does. You know, and the next guy that would do something like that, it'd probably kill him. You know, that's just Doug was on a good moon phase when that happened.
No kidding.
Bless his heart. God rest his soul.
Oh, God, I miss him out there, man. All the guys are gone, buddy. All my old buddies are gone, and now I got to deal with all these young guys. You know, they're a lot smarter, a lot faster, a lot quicker than I am. I need some old guys to hang around that's slow and dumb like me, you know. But anyway, it's all good, you know. I like the guys that's been guiding now 5 or 6 years, and they just think that, you know, fishing's the best it is, and they're the best they are. You know, it's just funny how 5 years and the guide is it 5 to 7, they get that big head. They're catching some fish, you know, that they won't even talk to you at the marina. They won't even say good morning to you, you know. It's like, yeah, I'll give you another 10 years, see how you feel, you know.
Trout snobs.
Trout snob. There's nothing worse than a trout snob, buddy.
Oh, man. Yeah. It, hey, they'll figure it out one day.
Oh, I know it, man. I know it. I know it.
It's, now, if they want to, if they could just go back in time and see what we saw.
Oh, my God.
It would humble them a little bit.
I know. You know, I'm trying to purge all this stuff in the closet. We're doing some remodeling. So my wife gets all her old family. I know she gets all those old family pictures that, you know, you send pictures to her dad and stuff, all these kids' pictures. Then he passed away. Well, you get all that stuff back. Yeah. You know, so you end up with all these pictures. So all these boxes, she's purging these big boxes of fish. She goes, well, why don't you go purge all your fishing pictures? You have all these fishing pictures. Well, look, honey, these people with these big speckled trout are a lot prettier than your family. I mean, who wants to see an old man, an old photo that's 50 years old with an old guy in a truck or something? I mean, I got pictures of people holding up big speckled trout. I mean, you don't need to throw those away. You need to throw the family pictures away. I mean, you know, you got to keep the things that are important. But that didn't go over very good, so I had to throw away some of the trout pictures. But it's hard to throw away those pictures because you get them out and you remember, oh, man, I remember that guy. Oh, I remember that guy. But the cool thing is I took pictures at marker 37. You are to see the difference. I laid out all these pictures, like 10 of them, how marker 37 has changed in 45 years.
Right.
The first couple of pictures I got, it's like a little shack, like a little fishing shack. Yeah. It's got marker 37. There's one boat. There's one lift, not a lift, but a slot there. Nobody there. And Snoopy's restaurant is up on stilts. It's got Snoopy's written across the top. And there's like three cars there, and there's just nobody there. And then you go 5 years, the parking lot's bigger. There's more building. You keep going, you just see marker 37 just bloom. And now they're doing they're going to do the dry stack storage, you know, all that other stuff. So, man, I just cannot believe the changes we've seen.
You'll need about four more boat ramps there, too.
We got a problem, buddy, because the guys, like I say, the guys that used to put in across the bridge over there are now leaving their boats overnight on the dock. And so it takes up all the dock space. So I put in at Bird Island the last few days. It's just get there real early. And then when I come back, there's 100 people, you know, trying to get out at Bird Island. So it's changed down here, man. It's a lot of people.
Yeah. Well, and fishing's good, too. You know, it's kind of like Field of Dreams. Build it and they will come, you know.
But I complain, but I look back at the 80s and some of the 90s. We were packed down here when those big fish were here, Mickey. It's the same thing. So, you know, when you got those big fish like Mansfield, I was talking to Jay, too. Mansfield got really crowded this year. You know,
it's only going to get worse.
Yes, sir. But they can't keep them, Mickey. You're going to sore lip them a little bit. That fish is going to swim off with a sore mouth a couple of days later, and that fish is still in the game. You know, she's got bigger, too. The next year, you know, that fish is bigger, so everybody gets to enjoy.
I always wonder about that. Some people go over the time frame. They, you know, overdo it on photos and all that before they release the fish. And
That's something we don't do.
You know, a lot of them will take them all the way back to the boat just to get a measurement. Lay them on the check-it stick, then get a picture of that, and then get a boga grip picture.
And then, you know, and that, Mickey, that's why it doesn't happen a lot with me. All my guys are old like me, and they've been around. They don't want to help them. So what I love about that guy that caught that big trout, it was almost 10 pounds. He snapped that boga. He let that fish in the water till I got there. And then he said, I'll show you pictures. Let me see what he weighs. He raises him up one time. We both read the scale. Put him back in the water, leaving horizontal, washing. Don't put him in your mud. The worst thing to do is, so you're wading there, you stirred a bunch of mud up. You're trying to
back in that
revive your fish.
Still through their
gills. They suck. So walk forward into the wind, get some good clear water, and take him and just work him into the water. You know, and when we turned that fish loose, he was hot. And we didn't touch him with our hands. You know, we snapped on his lips.
That's
no time we touched him with
right
our hands. You know, just keep your hands off of him, you know. And, you know, another thing that we do immediately take the lure out of his mouth. Immediately, because he's going to suck it down. Especially a soft plastic or like a soft iron. He'll gulp it. Like you raise him up, he'll gulp and it'll be in his throat. And I think we only had one fish in the throat, and Paul was able to get it out. But my guys set the hook quick. They don't let it. And that's what was my problem with that little topwater Mickey. I was so afraid that bait was going to get in their throat. I was setting the hook real quick. If I'd have let them eat a little bit, I would have caught them maybe, but it would have been down in their throat, and that would have killed them. So, you know, I think I'm going to have to.
That, you know, we've got all these big-time weight and pliers and everything else that somebody with this catch-and-release age we're in right now, they hadn't come out with a good long long-nosed, parrot-nosed pliers, you know, like cutting dikes. We used those on bass a lot back in the day, and like when you'd hook one deep, instead of trying to dig the hook out of the crushers and get him bleeding and everything, we'd just go as far down to the where the hook penetrated the crushers and just snip it off and just let him keep that
God, what a good idea.
In there, and he'd swim right off. And no telling how many bass were saved like that. And you could do it with trout, too, if you were, you know. A lot of people don't care, but I do. I want to see those fish get bigger and get caught again, you know.
Oh, I know. There's nothing worse than seeing it right down there in that goozle, right there in the throat. You just you feel so bad.
That's it, man. Right where the crushers are and everything. I mean, the hook gets down there. If you go to try and digging around with needle nose and everything else, trying to twist it out of there, you just gave him a death sentence. I will snip it off with it.
I've had to do that, too, especially with the lead head. I'll just snip it off and hope it rusts out. And a lot of times they do. You know, a lot of times they'll hook and they'll get rid of it, you know. But I caught a big trout last year that had a lead head still in the corner of his jaw. It was all rusted out, just getting ready to come out. And then when I touched it, it just kind of cratered, just kind of all came to pieces. But it's been there a long time. And the plastic was barely hanging in there. The plastic was almost gone, but she'd been carrying that thing for a while. But she was going to get rid of it, you know.
Yeah, that fish would have been fine.
But we didn't kill many for as many as we caught. We're lucky.
True. That's
very lucky to catch that many big fish, not hurt them. Man, it's so funny because the guys wanted two fish.
The fish that really get hurt are the pencils, you know, the 14 to 18 inchers like that, you know, that suck those tails way down like they do when they go to snapping big time. And that's the fish that probably don't have a snowball's chance in hell of making it.
Yeah, no, Doug Pike, he did that deal where he had a crimp the barb down on those lead heads, and we started doing that. We get in those little fish, and we're not really catching anything really big. We're having fun. Everybody's having a good time. I crimp those barbs a little bit. You know, it's easy. It's less work for me to get them off, and I'm killing less fish. And, I remember Doug's son, Christian, caught that 28-incher on a barb that was crimped. We threw that lead head out there. He catches almost an 8-pound trout on that crimped barb.
If you don't give him any slack.
He didn't give him any slack.
Get off. Christian,
he
just
did.
Keep
he did.
The
it
fish.
Made it. It made you make you a better angler. You know.
Sure. You know. I think that barb fished all day with a barbless jig head, and was really nice when you catch a gaff top, you just get him up next to the boat. Give him some slack and shake it, and hey, he swims off. You don't have to mess with that slimy, nasty thing.
Man, I've only caught one in 45 years down here. One. Well, I don't know where he came from, you know.
They're just part of the game up here, buddy.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You know,
I'm sure they don't like that salty water down there. They swim to the fresh water here. That's where they spawn. Yeah. I mean, I've seen them come up in Trinity Bay and spawn in just pure fresh water. I mean, drinking water.
God.
Yeah. You can,
man, that's something.
And they hold all the males hold the eggs in their mouth. And then when you get them up, they've got all them marbles in their mouth. And
you seen that before?
Oh, yeah. They spit them all over the boat. And then somebody steps on one, and you need a jackhammer to get it off when the sun cooks it.
I've never seen that.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I've seen it where the slime's like a foot up your line. I saw a guy sent me a picture, and it looked like snot up the line.
Oh, yeah.
I'm glad I don't have to deal with that, man.
Thumb in your finger and slide it down to your jig head and then slap it on the water knot, and a big old snot booger comes off. But
And
I've caught them when the babies have already hatched in their mouth. And, see, they'll hold them for till they get a certain size, and then they'll open their mouth and let them swim out. And That's why they're so prolific, catfish. I mean, golly, you can't wipe them out. But that's characteristic of that fish. Well, hey, man, we're out of time. I got to run.
All right, buddy.
If somebody wants to call
you
back,
thanks for having me on, Mickey, man.
Hey, you bet, man. Appreciate all the good info.
Oh, I had
a number,
so much fun this week. All right, Mickey, I'm in area code 361-949-0707. Appreciate you, Mickey. Thanks, man.
Hey, thank you, Cliff. You have a good week, man. Hope we get another run. Run a good one.
I will. Thanks, buddy. Okay.
Later. All right. Unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today's show. We'll be back in the morning bright and early, 4 a.m. right here at Sports Radio 610 KILT Houston.